Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Joshua chapter 14. If you've been with us at all in the past 6 months, you know that we've been walking through a series titled The Bible, A True Story. And we've been kind of walking from Genesis kind of on. And over the last 3 weeks, we found ourselves in the book of Joshua. And there is so much we can talk about in Joshua, but as I just kind of was seeking through, the Lord brought some different things. We talked about Rahab, you may remember. We talked about the Battle of Jericho. Last week we talked about the sin of Achan. And this morning we're going to finish up our time in Joshua as we take a look at Caleb. And the interesting thing about Caleb is that he's not talked about a lot in the Bible. But when we talk about Caleb, you can't help but think of what a faithful man of God. And so I don't think you can leave Caleb out of the conversation. We've talked about talking about powerful men and women throughout the Bible. And so honestly, when I first laid out my series, I didn't have talking about Caleb, but as I was flipping through Joshua, I just saw Caleb's name, and I was like, we need to talk about this amazing man of God. And so before we dive into Caleb and our scripture for this morning, let me just kind of update you on where we are as we've been walking through the Bible. When we left off, Israel had experienced the agony of defeat there in Ai. We talked about that last week. The week before was the thrill of victory, and then the agony of defeat. And it was all because of a man named Achan who chose to disobey God's commands. And so after Joseph dealt with Achan in the way that God had told him to, he said, you need to deal in this way if you want to move on. And so after he dealt with Achan the way God had told him, we see Israel rise back up and once again experience victory. Once again, they're moving forward, they're advancing on the promised land, and they are riding high. But if you remember, as we talked about last week, these cycles that we sometimes go through, when everything is going right for us, we have a tendency to become careless, right? Careless in our walk, careless in our serving of the Lord. And in Joshua 9, we see these Gibeonites come. They are a neighboring city, and they fool Joshua and the people of Israel. They act like they've traveled from a far off distance, like they're from nowhere near, asking for this truce. But they were a country that was neighboring, one of the countries of the Promised Land that they were supposed to advance on and take and wipe people out. And since they failed to inquire of the Lord, they were tricked. They were tricked. And so they were forced then to keep their truce that they had made with these people. And they had to allow them to coexist with them in the Promised Land. That if you read through, you'll see later that they caused problems quite frequently because of this mistake. But after their mess up, once again, Joshua comes before the Lord, and the people of Israel kind of get back on track and begin to continue to move towards taking this promised land that God has for them. And in chapters 10 through 12, it tells of all the land that they had taken over and all the kings that they had defeated, 29 in all, a total of actually 31 if you count Jericho and Ai. Okay? But in verses 10 through 12, they conquered 29 different nations and kings. And then from chapter 12 to 13, a little bit of time passes. There is some rest that happens there. But then at the beginning of chapter 13, God tells Joshua, all right, there is still some land for the people of Israel to go and possess. But there are still people there. And he said, but let them know I will go before them. I will be the one to drive them out. And that's what God's been saying from the beginning, right? That you go, but I will drive them out. And so at the end of chapter 13 and through verse 14, Joshua begins to allocate these lands, this area, to the different tribes. And so that's what we're going to pick up this morning in chapter 14 of Joshua, as he gives Caleb this land that, he and his people will go and take and possess. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along in Joshua 14. We're going to read verses 6 through 15. This is what it says. "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, "The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert." Wandered, right? So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Now, as I studied these scriptures, there were quite a few things that I discovered about Caleb. This amazing, faithful man of God. And so this morning, that's what I want to share with you. I want to share with you five things that I think we can learn from looking at these scriptures and looking at the life of Caleb. And so the first thing I want to share with you this morning that we can learn from Caleb is this. We can learn God's love for all people, that he loves all. See, I put up there, capital A-L-L, all people. Now, we learn this not because of anything Caleb did, but we learn this because of who Caleb was. Okay, it tells us here in verse 6 that Caleb was a Kenizzite, which means that he had been born a Gentile, a non-Jew, okay? He wasn't from the original tribes of Israel, but somehow, somewhere along the way, he had been adopted into the tribe of Israel. He even became one of the leaders of one of these tribes. Now, the thing we have to realize is that though he was born a Kenizzite, he was now considered an Israelite. He was fully an Israelite. He wasn't considered to be lesser of an Israelite because he wasn't born one. And this shows us something beautiful, I think, about the character of the God we serve. It shows us his love for all people and his desire to make all of us, all people, his own. It's what we saw a few weeks back with Rahab, right? Where this prostitute from Jericho is adopted into the people, the tribes of Israel. So much so that if you look at the lineage, you find that she is part of the lineage of Jesus. This prostitute who wasn't even originally someone from Israel, she became part of the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it doesn't matter our past. It doesn't matter where we came from, our upbringing. God loves all of us. And He desires for each of us to be a part of His family. That none should perish, is what Jesus said. And here's the thing, when we become a part of His family, He doesn't treat us like, well, you know, you're adopted. You're kind of one of the special ones out there, right? He doesn't treat us like an outsider. He doesn't treat us differently. He includes us. We are all part of a family. That's our heart and desire here, that whoever walks in these doors, doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter your past, your struggles, your challenges, you are a part of this family, a part of God's family. And when we realize that, we get to experience all of God's blessings. And so one thing we learn from Caleb is that God's love is for all people. Another thing that we can learn from Caleb in these scriptures, we can learn the importance of following God wholeheartedly. The importance of following God with all of our heart. In verses 7 through 9, Caleb talks about the spies that were sent out 45 years ago, 45 years earlier. We've referenced them a few times. We even spoke about them as we walked through this series. These 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy the promised land. And when they came back, from spying out, you may remember that 12 of them, they talked about how amazing this land was, how it was flowing with milk and honey. They had these grapes, these clusters that they carried on a pole, one cluster of grapes on this huge pole that two men had to carry. It was overflowing with goodness, this land that they went to. But 10 of them, 10 of the 12, said that even though the land is amazing, the people there are huge. They're like giants. And they will destroy us. They'll step on us like little ants. Grasshoppers was the word that they used in the scriptures. But there were two spies. The other two spies said, who cares? Who cares if these people are giants? Who cares if they're bigger than us? We have God. We have God on our side. And those two spies that said, let's go, let's take this land, were Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb was the one that actually spoke up the loudest, if you go back and look at these scriptures. And so that's what Caleb is referencing here in verses 7 and 8. Let me read again Joshua 14, the end of verse 7 and verse 8. It says, I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Caleb, he was following the Lord. You see, his report wasn't based on human perspective or even human fear. His report was based on his heart for the Lord and what God had told them. I will give this land to you. It was based on what God had told him. And because of this, because of his faithfulness, Moses promised Caleb this very land that they had gone and scouted out. Verse 9 says, so on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet had walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. There's that word again, wholeheartedly. It's three times in the scriptures. Why is it so important that we follow the Lord wholeheartedly? Well, I think Joshua and Caleb show us very clearly in these scriptures why. Because the ones that didn't, the ones that followed the ten and allowed themselves to be persuaded by fear and by others, what happened to them? Where are they right now? When Caleb and Joshua are taking the promised land, where are they? The ones that didn't, they all ended up dying in the desert and they never experienced the promised land that God had for them. the only ones from that generation, the only ones from that generation that experienced the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. They were the oldies in this group. They were the only ones that survived. All the other generations passed away. All those from that generation had passed away. And why is this? Because they both followed the Lord wholeheartedly. They followed God with all of their heart. God's desire is that we would be people who follow Him with all of our heart in the same way that Caleb did. Now, the third thing that we can learn from the life of Caleb is this. We can learn the value of patience. Can't we all learn that a little bit, right? In the Bible, it's interesting, there are only two places that record Caleb speaking. It records it in Numbers 13 and 14 in this story after spying out the land and giving his report. And then here in Joshua 14, some 45 years later. And think about that, 45 years later. It was 45 years earlier that God had promised him, where Moses had said, I will give you this land. God is going to give this land to you. And so for 45 years, he had been faithful. He had wholeheartedly devoted his life to God. He was patient, patiently waiting. But because of everyone else's mistakes, that period of time of waiting wasn't short, right? Because we're like, okay, God, I'll be patient. But we think, you know, patience is a month, couple months. Okay, maybe a year, Lord. I'll wait a year. 45 years, right? And this wasn't because of anything he did. I mean, I know sometimes we have to wait for things because of our own consequences. But what about when other people fail? And because of what they did, we have to wait. 45 years he had to wait for the blessing that God had for him. For 40 years, he had to put up with the grumbling and complaining of his generation until they finally died out. Right? And I believe that through those years, Caleb patiently waited for what God had promised him. He held on to that. It's like, I know it's coming. Probably every year, I know it's coming. I know it's coming. 45 years later. There is a huge value in patience. When we learn to trust and to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon His timing. And when we do that, when we wait upon the Lord, when we wait upon His timing, and when we are faithful to be patient, it's then that we experience the greatest blessings. What if Caleb hadn't been patient? What if Caleb would have said, you know what, man, it's never going to happen, just forget it. I'm not going to continue to be patient. I'm not going to continue to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. I haven't got what I deserve, right? What if he would have played that righteous card? You know, I obeyed. I did what was right. How come I'm having to wait? Come on! How many of us sometimes we play that card? I think if he would have done these things, he might have never received this blessing. He might have never experienced the promise. And I wonder how often we miss out on God's promises and blessings simply because of our lack of patience. I mentioned last week that sin is often us trying to take a shortcut to something that God really wants to give us in the first place. It's just a matter of waiting for His timing, waiting for when it's right. And so... we get impatient. We either try to make things happen ourselves or we give up on it. Either way, we mess things up when we do that. And we fail to experience His blessings in our life. You see, we serve a patient God, and I believe we too have to learn to walk in patience. Caleb was a man who walked in patience, and we can learn that from him this morning. The fourth thing, the next thing that we can learn from Caleb in these scriptures is this. there are no excuses. We make them all the time, but the reality is there are no excuses. Caleb had been faithful. And the truth is, he could have said, okay, God, I've been faithful. Just give me the land with the golf course and the hammock in the shade. Right? I've done my duty. Let me just sit here and just soak it up now. He could have asked for land that had already been conquered. Right? There was a lot of land that had already been conquered. He could have said, just give me that. I don't need to fight anymore. I don't need to go to battle. But he didn't. That's not who Caleb was. And he knows that's not who God called Caleb to be. He may have been 85 years old. I know that sounds old to us, but he may have been 85 years old, but he still knew how to wield a sword. And he wasn't going to let his age stop him from getting the land that God had promised him. He wasn't going to make excuses. And the thing is, I don't think anybody would have thought differently of Caleb if he decided to sit out the last battle. He said, hey, you youngins, you guys go. You go fight, and once we have that land that God's given us, then I'll come in and I'll just sit back and chill in my lawn chair with my feet kicked up, drinking, iced tea, margaritas. I don't know what he drank back then, okay? No one would have thought differently, but this is why Caleb is a challenge to all of us. This is why we are challenged by Caleb. Because many of us would be tempted to come up with excuses of why we can't continue to do the work of the Lord. Think about this. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if this is the case, then why do we give up? And I'm not just speaking to you this morning. I've been in that place too. I'm there. I'm speaking to myself. Why do we stop doing the things that we know we should be doing? Is it because we're too old? You hear that? Oh, I'm too old for that stuff. How about this? Is it because we're too young? My front row here, right? Oh, I'm young. I can't do those things. Is it because the task looks too big? Oh, they're giants. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes. Is it because it's too scary? It's above and beyond what we ever thought. That's what the 10 said, right? That's what the 10 said. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can't allow ourselves to see things the same way that the 10 spies did. Because here's the thing, the 10 spies, they focused on how big the obstacles were compared to them. We have to look at things the way Caleb, we have to have Caleb's perspective, who saw how small the obstacles were compared to God, right? We focus on ourselves, oh man, that's bigger than me. And God says, yeah, that's why you got to trust in me. Because you can't do all things through yourself, but you can do all things through me who gives you strength. And we can't allow ourselves to find excuses of why we can't do whatever it is God is calling us to do. We have to grab hold of the hope that reminds us we can, regardless of the circumstances. I had the privilege of getting to know an amazing woman in Newburgh. An amazing woman by the name of Polly Seiler. This woman, she started the Love Inc. in Newburgh. When I had first got there, I had been there about a year or two in Newburgh as a youth and associate pastor, and her with a team of people were starting this new organization called Love Inc., Love in the Name of Christ. And it's this amazing ministry that works with churches, pulling churches together to help people in need. And so you'll have different churches that do different things. We were the church that provided gas vouchers and bus passes. There were churches that provided non-perishables, churches that provided diapers for kids. There were churches that did haircuts. There were churches that did all sorts of different things to help resource people in our community. And so people would come to Love Inc. with stuff that they were struggling with or difficulties, and Love Inc. would say, "All right, here's how we can help. I'm going to have you send to this church, you'll get this. This church, get this, and we'll help take care of you." And it was this amazing ministry that this woman, Polly Seiler, created. And God has just blessed it tremendously. She has since stepped out, and now as she's working with the church, she's still doing amazing things. But here's the thing about Polly. As she started Love Inc., she was starting to lose her eyesight. And day by day, the deeper she got into Love Inc., the more blind she became, to the point where she became technically legally blind. She could see images and see things moving around, but like when I would walk into her office, she'd be like, "Hello?" And as soon as I said, "Hey, Polly," she's like, "Darren." You know, she could hear my voice, but she couldn't make out who I was. She had this huge magnifying glass, so she could like put it on her computer and like look up and see things and type and send out emails. And here's the thing. She could have easily, and no one would have thought different of her, of saying, "You know what, man, this is just getting too difficult for me. I need to step down from my role here at Love Inc. because I'm going blind and it's just harder to do these things." But she didn't. The thing was, is the blinder Polly got, the more powerful the ministry of Love Inc. became. It was amazing to me. It was a perfect example of Hebrews 11:34 that talks about how in our weakness, God is made strong, right? And I saw that firsthand in Polly's life. And it was amazing. The worse her eyesight got, the more amazing she became. And God used her in powerful ways and is still using her today. We can't let excuses keep us from experiencing the promised land that God has for us. Caleb didn't let excuses keep him from taking this land that God had promised him. And because of that, we learn the fifth and final thing that we get from Caleb this morning, which is this. When we're faithful, we experience God's blessings. When we're faithful. When we keep being faithful in those difficult times, when things don't make sense, when we trust in God and continue to be faithful to Him, continue to live our lives wholeheartedly for Him, continue to be patient and trust in His timing, not our timing. When we do those things, we experience God's blessings. Verse 14 says, "So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly." This land that he had spied out, not a couple years earlier, 45 years earlier, this land that he had been dreaming about all this time, was finally his. And it's because he was faithful to the Lord, faithful to the calling that God had on his life. That's all that God desires from us. That we would do our best to live faithful lives for Him. And if we're faithful to live the life God has called us to live, then we can continue to hold on to the promises. The promise that we will experience His blessings in our life, just like Caleb did. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I read through these scriptures, I was inspired by this man, Caleb, Lord. Not talked about a lot, but you can just tell by the few verses that we see that this man was a man of faith who put his trust in you, Lord Jesus, who followed you wholeheartedly, who lived his life for you to the fullest, Lord. He didn't make excuses. He patiently waited for your will to be done in and through his life. And even then, he continued to do what he needed to do. And so, Lord, I thank you for Caleb. I thank you for the example that he is. And I pray, Lord, that I can just be a little bit of the man of faith that Caleb was. That I can have just a little bit of the patience that Caleb had, Lord. Trusting in you, trusting in your hand upon my life, that I may be who you have called me to be. And I pray that for all of us here, Lord. Lord, there are things in our life, I know for myself, there are things, promises that I felt that you put on my heart even as a young kid seeking you, Lord. Things that I have not seen yet. But I haven't given up in seeing those promises in my life. And I pray for people in this room that maybe have heard things, maybe people have spoke things over their lives, that, Lord, we would continue to hold on to those things and patiently wait as we faithfully serve you, as we faithfully give our lives to you, as we continue to be faithful, 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 that we would continue to seek you so that in your timing and in your way, we'll get to experience the blessings that you have for us, that we would experience the promised land that you have for us here on this earth, Lord. Lord, I know that there will come a day when we will get to be in heaven and rejoice in all your glory and goodness. And that'll be amazing, and it's hard to even imagine what that will be like. But Lord, I also believe that you want us to experience the promised land that you have for us here on this earth, Lord. You want us to experience some of your blessings, some of your goodness, even in the midst of a fallen, broken world. And so may we be faithful, Lord. May we be like Caleb, who patiently, faithfully, wholeheartedly wait upon you. We thank you for these things. May we be encouraged today by this word, Lord. May you speak to each of us individually. Lord, where are those areas in our life where maybe we've already started to quit? How do we get back in to the game, Lord? Or maybe there's areas where we're feeling like we want to quit. How do we keep moving forward? Keep trusting in you and trusting in your timing and in your way, Lord. And so, Lord, we just give these things to you. We pray that you speak to each of us where we're at, Lord. May we continue to hear your voice and be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.